Hey, is this thing on? Oh crap, it is? Well then, you are now listening to the Beer Buzz Network.
Hello, this is Patrick Roof from the brewery, and you're listening to Beer Geek Radio. Drink up, bitches.
What's happening, guys? Beer Geek Radio back on location at the brewery.
Yes.
My name is Brad. I will be your host for the duration of this episode.
I will be your co-host. This is Steven.
I will sit here and say words from time to time. This is Chris.
And once again, we're sitting down with Patrick Rue. Go ahead and say hello, Patrick.
Hello, everybody.
It's before we get too far ahead of ourselves, I just want to say once again that it's a real privilege to be able to share a table and a beer with you, Patrick. Thank you for taking time out of your busy schedule to sit down with us.
Cheers.
It's really
to that.
An honor.
Yeah, fun to hang out.
So cheers again to that gentleman.
Yes, cheers.
And the point of this episode, we really wanted to sit down with Patrick and discuss the brewery's major announcement they made pretty recently on the brewery Taru. So I've got some questions to fire at Patrick and kind of get an idea of what exactly the Taru is. And that's for the benefit of getting to sit down with the man himself, is that we can get all the information we need and get that to you guys first. So you guys are hearing me talk about the brewery Taru. My first question is, what is Taru? And what will be different between Taru and the brewery?
So Taru came out of, it's kind of a, I guess, a spinoff of the brewery. We make a lot of beers. I think last year we made 70 different beers, and perhaps 25, 30 of those are sour beers or beers using wild yeast. And we already have a few facilities here, but we have just one brand. So I thought it made a lot of sense for us. We, you know, obviously are very passionate about sour beers, very passionate about bourbon barrel aged beers and, you know, some of the Belgian inspired beers that we make, and thought we would kind of create two specialties, you know, our main brand and then our sour and funky stuff. And it so happens that it works better for us logistically to make these beers at separate places.
Yeah.
For contamination reasons.
Segregation can be good.
And just so you know, Steven can be a sick individual.
Well, that just goes to show.
So you say it, you say Belgian-inspired beers, sour and wild beers. Can you give us some specific examples of beers that are going to be made now at Taru as opposed to the brewery?
So Taru will encompass Hottenroth, Saison Roux, new tart, ruse, anything that's sour or funky, and a whole bunch of new beers, and even some new year-round beers that I probably shouldn't talk about quite yet. But
we'll keep you in suspense. You're going to have to wait on those.
Yeah. Well, to be honest with you, you're going to have to wait just like all of us.
Yeah.
So, you're not alone on that one.
We want to offer, you know, kind of a pretty wide range of wild and sour beers. We want it to be a successful brewery if it was on its own. Obviously, it's, you know, part of a larger family, but we want on its own to be a very, you know, well balanced brewery.
So the beers that you already have, like the Hottenroth and Sans Pajai, like we're drinking right now, and the other stuff, the sours you already make, are those going to be rebranded under Taru?
Yeah, so we'll have a whole new label look to them. This would be a little bit larger in scale. Mm-hmm. So anywhere we distribute our beers, you'll find our main brand, and you'll have, you know, similar or same look that we currently have. And then for Taru, it'll be different looking labels. Brewery is still part of the name, so we want people to be able to recognize that we're the same thing, but there's a different approach.
Cool.
Part of it is our customers can get a little confused, like they make so many beers, what does this one taste like? So at least we can, you know, guide as far as flavor profiles a little bit more based on just what does the bottle look like?
Are you going to be keeping the same 751 bottle format for all of the beers too, or are you going to change that up a little bit?
It's going to be all 750s for now.
Okay, perfect.
Yeah.
All right. Well, one of the things that I wanted to touch on too is that the brewery has done such an awesome job at creating an identity for themselves over the last 6 years of being open. You know, from different societies that they have. You guys just moved into a new society fulfillment center that is now separate from the tasting room, and a lot of changes are happening. So with all that being said, why the split now? Is there something going on that is just now the time, or, you know, what was the really kind of the reason for the switch?
And now's a good time because in this facility where we are right now in Anaheim on Grove Street. We are essentially putting in fermenters. We're putting in bottling line. So we'll be making wort over at the brewery, unfermented beer at, you know, in our, on our new brew house. We'll truck it over here. It'll ferment here, age here, and then it's packaged here. So it never has to go back to the brewery right now. So everything, almost, you know, 90% of the process is happening in this building. It's a good opportunity to have a tasting room and to focus, you know, show what our focus is on these beers. I just woke up one morning and said, this is going to be a lot of different beers under one brand. I don't think of myself as a marketing oriented person. It just seemed natural that it has a different relationship to our non-sour, non-funky brand.
So the word Taru exactly, you kind of touched on it, kind of spawned from the brewery word itself. What does the word Taru exactly mean?
It means earthy in French, so of the earth. All the beers that we will be making at Taru are very kind of, well, everything comes from the earth, obviously, but kind of an earthy focus. So the wild yeast will give you notes of leather and hay and barnyard, you know, very earthy natural, sort of aromas.
Natural aromas.
Yeah, we're using fruit. So we're trying to create something that is very traditional from the earth. But people will probably think that this is weird, crazy beer, but it's, you know, actually very traditional, you know, a few hundred years ago before we could isolate yeast strains and keep bacteria out of our, you know, brewing process. Everything was, you know, would be sour. So it's kind of a coming back to how beer was for thousands of years.
Nice. So you talked about waking up one morning and having the thought of doing this. So was this something that you literally woke up one day and said, you know what, I want to separate the two, I want to separate the brand into two entities itself? Or was this something that you kind of had been thinking for a while and just needed a way to bring it all about? Or how did that process work? Was it exclusively you, or was it you and a few other people, or how did that work?
No, I just woke up one morning and had that thought, and then I introduced it to some of the executive team around here. And it was kind of, they were pretty supportive of it, but also a little bit skeptical, because I come up with a lot of ideas and kill them often. So it really just happened kind of randomly. And when I'm committed to an idea, just there's nothing that is going to stop it. So might be annoying for other people, but
but good for us.
Well, hey, it's working.
Yeah, it's, I mean, obviously the brewery has done such an awesome job, as I said, building an identity and only being 6 years old. That's a young company in comparison to many others, but the brewery has quickly become, you know, one of the most recognizable faces in craft beer, definitely one of the most discussed breweries in craft beer, mm-hmm. because it just, you know, the brewery does a lot of innovative things, and I think this is going to be a good opportunity to be able to expand on that. And that leads me into my next question, and you kind of touched on this a little bit. Is Taru going to be used as a means to kind of further your guys' profile on sour and funky beers? Are you guys going to be doing some more wild and crazy things now that you have the new kind of marketing and the image?
Oh, definitely. Yeah, I think it gives us a lot of opportunity to experiment and create beers that I don't think have ever been made before, or at least aren't commercially available. So it's really exciting, and we're really allowing our staff to develop into specialists. Right now, we have a great staff of 50 employees, and the same guy will be developing a beer that, you know, is bourbon barrel aged, and then the next day he'll do, you know, a sour beer. While we, you know, I think we do have a great range of knowledge. When you only focus on sour or funky beers, the amount of knowledge on that subject is going to be just naturally a lot higher. That's all they're going to be devoted to. So really look forward to learning new things about these beers that are largely a mystery to us, more art than science.
Nice. It definitely gives you guys the opportunity to be more versatile and to be more unique and innovative. And obviously, the brewery is one of the breweries in the United States, at least, that is really kind of the at the forefront of innovation in terms of new styles and doing also new things with existing styles too. So, I definitely think that you guys are headed in the right direction with that. And with that, my question is, what's the capacity going to look like in terms of sour beers? Is it going to be remain about the same? Are there going to be more now that there's two brands?
Yeah, we'll be able to increase our capacity. I actually don't know what our current output is. I'm going to guess it's somewhere around 2,000, 2,500 barrels. Those are like 31 gallon barrel or per barrel. That's what we're currently producing, and we should be able to do around 6,000 barrels of kind of wild and sour beer. So it'll take a while to grow into that, but it'd be cool. And definitely more focus, or we're able to do, have longer stainless residency times for, like, I love the Berliner Weiss style. You know, what about using that sort of same method and, but make other, you know, have other malt flavors and things like that. So
awesome. In terms of the bottles, we talked about capacity, and I think you touched on this as well early on, is there's going to be an entirely new marketing scheme behind it. There's probably going to be a new label design that's going to be remain separate from what the brewery is already doing. Is that correct?
Yeah, definitely. We want people to be able to connect the two, but have them be able to be their own things as well.
That way you'll be able to see them on the shelf and say, okay, this is brewery, this is Taru, but they're obviously similar, you know, obviously from the same company, the same brains, the same, you know, craftsmanship and everything. It's going to have the same quality.
Right. Yeah. It's important to us that we hope to get the trust of our customers to try, you know, to really want to explore both, both brands, but view them as different animals.
Nice. What do you guys, Chris and Steven, before I move on to some more of my questions, how are you guys taking this all in so far?
Good. I've seen a couple of the samples of the Taru logo, I guess, yeah, would be the best word. And it seems to have like the same typeface as the brewery logo does. So I think that'll be a good sticking point where people can put the two together.
Totally. Yeah. And when Brad told me about this, I wasn't excited because it's going to be nice to see what you do with it, but it's also going to be nice to see what it's going to allow you to do with the brewery itself, not Taru, with the other beers that you have, and to see what else you'll be able to create with that.
Yeah.
So I'm really looking forward to that. I'm really looking forward to see what you do with both brands.
Cool.
That's going to be
me too.
That's it's going to be fun.
Have you ever thought about, under either the Taru brand or the brewery brand, I'm not sure which it would fall under, but doing traditional Belgian styles, since you have that Belgian background, like say a quad or a double?
Yeah, I've thought about it. We always try to make a base beer style and do a different twist to it. So for us to make, you know, just a standard triple or a standard double, you know, something as wonderful as West Malt double, I have a hard time making something like that, just because what's the point? I want to, you know, that's a delicious beer. Yeah. I can't add very much to that.
True.
So where can we contribute? Definitely take inspiration from a base style like a double and add our own mark to it.
My next question is one of the going to be, I know in the future, before it's really answered by when the Taru brand becomes open and, you know, producing beer. And I've seen it already, and I've actually been asked it from friends that, you know, are curious. One of the most memorable aspects to the brewery, and one of the things that the brewery has done so well, is the different societies. And the question is always, okay, hey, now that this new entity is opening, what's going to happen to the societies? Is there going to be, you know, an all sour society? Are they still going to be mixed and blended to where somebody who's a society member is going to get a wide array of brewery and Taru products? I mean, have you guys ironed that out yet?
Yeah, it's still kind of in progress, but we would like to offer a few different preservation society memberships. One that's geared towards sour beer, if that's all, you know, sour and funky beer, then we'll give you a choice of doing only Taru beers. If you don't want those styles, we can just do brewery beers. That's something that we really aren't able to do till 2016. And then as far as splitting up the memberships right now, we think it's, you know, to everybody's advantage, both ours and our customers, to keep the societies under both brands so that you have a wider selection. I know some of our customers just want a Taru membership, but, you know, you can just buy Taru beers and not, but in the future, if it becomes a sticking point for customers that would sign up for Taru or would sign up for a brewery, but not the other, definitely something to look into, but probably 2017 and beyond before we'd do something like that.
So it's going to stay relatively similar to how it is. There's still probably going to be brewery and Taru society exclusives. And then there's going to be a selection of beers that's more widely available under both names. So that way, you know, everybody has a chance to try it. Is that right?
Yep, absolutely.
All right. I know that's been a hot topic. A lot of people ask that question because societies are something that, you know, more breweries are doing now. But, you know, until the brewery had done it, it was more like wineries were doing it with wine clubs. But you didn't really find breweries that were doing it too much with their beer. And I think that's one thing the brewery has done so very well is to do the societies. It gives people an opportunity to try new things, definitely.
Yeah, it's been a great thing for us and kind of forces us not to rest on our laurels. We want to keep innovating and doing new things. And we have a strong customer base that supports that. But we originally, Lost Abbey was doing it before we did it. And shortly after we started, they got out of that business. It's really great, but you have to be you have to have the staff dedicated to just fulfilling customers and making sure everybody's happy. It could be hard to take on. That first year is pretty much just me and a few others that took that responsibility, and now it's grown into a staff of five, I believe. It's nice that it's not on my lap entirely anymore.
Yeah, and what people might not understand about that is that when people sign up for the Reserve Society or Hoarder Society, I mean, what that gives you is an obligation to produce great beer before you even start, and these people are already expecting that. And so, yeah, I mean, that really, it definitely, obviously, when you explain it in that way, it's more understandable why, or the level of commitment it takes, and why the brewery's been able to capitalize on that, because they've been able to maintain it and still produce awesome beer. And I think that's one of the things that makes the brewery unique. I wasn't even aware that Lost Abbey used to do that.
Yeah, it was cool. They had a Saints and Sinners club. I don't think you could buy, you weren't able to buy more allocations. You paid a base fee and you were allocated a certain amount of beer.
You get what you get.
Yeah, you get a certain amount of bottles for your cost, and they had a party and stuff. It was pretty cool.
It's funny you bring up the Lost Abbey, because I do see a lot of parallels, especially with like the split brands. Like, they've got Port, which is their more American classic styles, and then they do the Lost Abbey side, which is their Belgian inspired and like Trappist inspired stuff. But they seem to want to separate those two brands. Like, if you didn't know any better, you'd think they were two completely different brands, but they're actually not. They're all brewed in the same house, same brewers, same everything. Your approach, though, seems to be combining, like, keeping that same branding and letting people know that you are the same brand, and this is just two different factions of the same brewery.
Yeah, I think Lost Abbey and Port are really smart to do that. It's really two different focuses on beer, both, you know, super awesome brands, but allows them to be in different packaging, different price points, and not devalue the other. Where for us, they're, you know, similar price points, but just a different taste, different focus. Mm-hmm.
So you mentioned we touched on marketing, even packaging societies. Is there going to be a Taru tasting room, so people are going to be able to come and try all of the crazy concoctions that the brewery comes up with? And then also another question in that same vein is, are there going to be Taru beers at the brewery and vice versa? So if somebody wants to, hey, I want some sours today, but I might want a little bit of a non-sour beer, do I have to go to both places, or how is that going to work?
Yeah, so with the Taru tasting room, it'll be here in Anaheim, where we produce the beer. It'll be super cool. I'm really excited.
That's awesome.
Yeah, we'll have a nice big patio, you know, big sort of outdoor focus. But when you're inside, you're, you know, in the warehouse with the barrels. It, you know, feels like one room. We'll have it separated off with some glass partitions. But really excited for how it's going to turn out. Mm-hmm. But as far as availability of Taru beers at the brewery and brewery beers at Taru, we want to have maybe a 25% crossover. We want, you know, the experience here to be mostly a focus on Taru beers, but, you know, I want to drink my Humulus Lager here at Taru. So I love sour and funky beers, but I drink a lot of Humulus Lager, so got to make sure people can get their fix no matter where they go. But, you know, if you want to try everything that we have to offer, you know, I think it'd be a fun day trip to visit the brewery, take a tour, come over to Taru, have some beers, have a flight, and take a tour of here, and just kind of see how they differ and how they are similar.
Cool. Yeah,
it's awesome. I noticed that you can tell this isn't just a business decision for him. Like, it's really something he's happy about, because every time he brings it up, he has this childish smile on his face. You can tell he's really excited about it.
It's true.
That's awesome.
Yeah, the passion is definitely very evident there, and that's actually, it's really nice to see that, just because the level of care that goes into doing something like this, and you're taking a big risk. I did want to address that as well, because like I said early on in the episode, you guys have done an awesome job at building an identity for yourselves, and it seems like it's working. And to be able to branch out and do something this different, you're taking a big risk, but I mean, you seem to have the passion, you definitely have the staff, and the level of care there. I mean, I think it's going to work. I genuinely think it's going to work.
I hope so. Otherwise, I'm screwed.
Well, I only have, you know, a couple more brief questions. The first one being, can you give us an approximate rundown of a timeline of when people are going to start to see some of these changes?
True brew beers you'll start seeing hopefully in January 2015.
Oh, nice.
So you'll see a kind of a rebranding of Saison Roux, any of our specialty sour beers to come out that year, Hot and Roth. It's going to be a little bit of a slow start. I'm guessing in California we'll probably have the biggest impact initially, and then we'll roll it out to other states. But our new brew house probably won't be online until February. These beers that we make on the sour side are, you know, on average, probably 12 months of age. It'll take a little while till we kind of get into gear with capacity on the new brew house and getting this place full. As far as a tasting room, should be probably late summer, early fall of 2015.
Okay, so just over a year from now, that should be a fully functioned tasting room here for the brewery tour. That's going to be pretty exciting.
Definitely. So,
and then my last question is the bottles, and you kind of touched on this a little bit, bottles of Taru beer, are they going to kind of show up in the same distro areas as brewery beer now, so you're going to be able to see both, or they're not going to be more limited or smaller distro areas, are they?
No, for now we're going to keep with the same distribution areas, and with our expansion of the brewery and Taru, we should be able to expand into some new markets probably mid-2015. So it'll give us an opportunity to grow a little bit and incrementally grow in the next 3-4 years.
Nice. Nice. Well, the brewery, as you heard, is going to open up their own new marketing, and it's going to be called the Brewery Taru. You got some information. Hopefully, if you had any questions, we were able to answer them. You know, there is information out there already. Information is rather limited at this point because it's so early on. You heard a timeline that a lot of these changes are going to start happening next year. So it's going to be a very big year for you guys. I'm sure you guys are very, very excited. We have one more fun thing to do now that we have Patrick Roux on the episode is we're going to have a little fun with him. We're going to put him on the hot seat. I've got 5 questions for you. Some of them are beer related. Some of them are not.
We don't do this enough.
Yeah, we've done this before with some different breweries, and they tend to really like it. So it's we're going to fire away. So the first one real quick is... So you have Gray Monday, you've got Black Tuesday, and you've got Mocha Wednesday. So right now on the spot, if you had to create a Thursday, what would you call it and what would be in it?
Oh. Thank God it's Thursday. So then it's almost Friday, Saturday, you know. And I have no idea. You really are putting me on the spot.
Yeah.
I don't know. Next one.
Okay. You should take a pass.
Well, we got the name.
We got the name. Yeah. Give you an idea of what you could put in it. Yeah. So the next one's not beer related. So you're sitting on the couch one of those days when you have some downtime. One of those movies comes on TV that no matter how many times you've seen it, you have to watch it every time. What movie is that?
Ferris Bueller's Day Off.
Nice.
Yeah.
That's just feeling of being a kid again. You know, we've all stayed home from school and how good that feels. You feel a little guilty, but like...
I wish I had that elaborate plan that he had. Yeah.
Bueller.
Nice. I'm glad to get that one out there. So the most famous beer-related celebrity that you have in your phone contacts list is who?
Oh, boy. Like Greg Cook or Steve Wagner. But no. I try not to bother them. Guys from Stone.
So I'm going to go ahead and keep this a little bit more broad, but if you're able to answer it, I can get more specific. But one beer style that you could drink for the rest of your life is what?
Ooh, India Pale Lager.
Oh, okay. Nice. And then what is there a specific beer?
Well, Humus Lager is probably my top one. Jack's Abbey out of near Boston makes a super awesome IPL as well. I just love how lager yeast and hoppy beers, you know, work with each other. Like ale yeast is blowing off, you know, during fermentation, blowing off a lot of those hoppy aromas. That's why breweries smell so good right after, you know, fermentation starts on an IPA, where lager yeast, it's a nice, gentle, cool fermentation that preserves a lot of those hop aromatics. So I want to see more kick-ass IPLs.
Nice. I like that. And so last one here is, so you're brewing Black Tuesday in a hot brew house on a long summer day.
Oh, God.
So what band or artist is playing on the stereo to keep you going and keep you ready to go?
Boy, you know, Tyler always put on his music, and tends to be really bad. Like, it's like Lady Gaga. And like, just, I was really angry about it the first few months. And then you just get used to it.
It's like that fire alarm or the smoke detector that the batteries run out. You just hear it beeping. Like, it
totally. Just becomes part of the background
exactly.
after a while.
You
white
don't
noise.
Even hear it after a while.
But I love Bad Religion. Almost every song kind of nice. Sounds the same, but I love the.
That's,
I love their
that's
sound.
Punk.
Yeah. At least they got continuity.
Yeah,
yeah, they're very consistent.
Nice, nice. And I got one last bonus question for you. So, what are the chances we'll ever see a brewery and Beer Geek Radio collaboration beer on the shelf somewhere?
I don't know. You tell me.
Well, I mean, he's putting me on the spot. I mean, hey, I would definitely love to see
Let's
it.
Let's make things. Thank God it's Thursday. Let's come up with a recipe for him.
Oh, there we go. That's our task.
You know what? I can get my creative juices flowing. I'm sure Patrick can as well, as he's exercised so very well over the years. I'd be looking forward to some crazy ideas from Chris and Steven as well.
I'm already thinking.
Yeah, I mean, hey, as long as we can do it, I'm absolutely in on that one. All right. Well, we put Patrick and inadvertently I put myself on the hot seat. Yeah. So I guess it kind of worked out.
Backfire.
Well, you guys got some more information on the brewery, Taru. It's going to be a very exciting project, so you guys can stay tuned as more information becomes available. Believe me, we're on the edge of our seats, just like you guys are, just because the brewery's reputation. I'm going to be very patient and very excited to hear more of this project. It's going to be great. We've been drinking Sans Pagier, which is the interpretation of a creek. This is definitely a beer that's going to be made under the Taru name, I'm assuming.
Yep, absolutely. Mm-hmm. Hopefully some more fruited, you know, lambic-style beers.
Absolutely. All right, well, final thoughts before we get out of here, gentlemen. Well, I mean, you guys, we have Patrick Rue here in front of us. It's not very often that we get to do something like this. So is there anything you guys want to say or ask him before we jump out of here?
This beer that we're drinking is outstanding.
It's actually, and I've said this actually like two or three times on air before, but this is the second sour that I've ever tasted that I actually liked.
Glad to help pop that cherry.
Yeah, yeah. Yep. You really did.
But literally.
I'll say pun intended there, probably.
Right? Yeah.
So what about you, Chris?
Cheers.
Other than this beer is outstanding, what do you think?
No, it's an honor to be sitting here with the man himself. I've tried a lot of brewery beers over the course of my beer experience, and everything that I've tried is outstanding. I don't think there's been one miss that I've had from you guys so far, and I'm very, very much looking forward to the Taru and see what other crazy stuff you guys are coming up with. Don't have a whole lot of questions for you, man. We covered most of them.
Yeah.
I tried to jump in with them when I thought of them.
And but, you know, another thing is there's certain breweries out there that are actually pretty big that you can kind of start getting a pattern of what they're going to come out with. You kind of can anticipate it. I have no idea what you guys are going to come out with. it ranges so much. You have an extensive, you have a great like barrel age program with your, with, you know, like Black Tuesday. And then you come out with, you know, Sans Pagaille beers like this. It's all over the board, but in a good way. It keeps you guessing and it keeps you wanting more.
Thanks. Keep it fun for us, right?
Exactly.
Yeah. It's fun for all of us. So, I mean, it's been extremely, it's a great honor to sit here with you, Patrick. I really appreciate you taking time out of your busy schedule to be here with us. We got a lot of great information, and hopefully all the listeners, you know, they're just as excited as we are. I can't see how they wouldn't be. So, we're going to get out of here. We're going to finish this bottle of Sans Pagaille. We're going to be selfish with it, and we'll be sure to, like I said, if there's any more information that comes out, you guys are going to stay tuned because it will happen quickly. Believe me, it sounds like 2015 is far away, but it's already July, so yeah. It's going to be here before
it's
you know
depressing.
It. So once again, thanks, Patrick, for being here. And for the Beer Geek Radio, my name is Brad.
This is Steven.
This is Chris.
Cheers, guys. Thanks a lot. Bye.
Cheers.